This morning, I'd like to focus on the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 through 34, and I'll read that in a little bit. As we take a look at this particular gospel, there's a few things that we need to pay attention to. A long time ago, I suppose, so in the 20s, 30s of last century, there was a study done amongst little babies that were first born. The study was done by a man named Harlow. And they ran into a difficulty at the clinic that he was the supervisor of. He noticed that a good number of newborn infants died within the first week, and the number was almost 50%, and they just couldn't understand why. And so he arranged a study and found out that the children who died that first week of life were children who were not handled and held and caressed. The others survived because they had been loved, held, and kissed. And so it came to light that when children are raised in homes with lots of touching, with hugging, physical expressions of affection, they usually grow up to be open and warm and secure. And they live good lives and long lives. We need to be touched if our lives is to be all that it ought to be. It's just the way humans are. And God certainly understood that. He understood that we need to be touched, and we need to know his loving caress. Well, how in the world does God do that? Well, he became a man. And he came in the flesh to touch us because that's the highest form of communication between two human beings, touch. And sometimes we're afraid of touch. You know, when you sit next to a person who's perhaps a stranger, you sort of back off. And then it's that very touch that keeps us happy. Touch can express things that we can't even find words for. And so, when we take a look at God touching our lives, we find that in one instance, I'm going to read for you from Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 and following, as a result of Jesus' touch, two men received their sight. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. And two blind men were sitting by the road hearing that Jesus was passing by. And they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David." And the crowd sternly told them to shut up. But they cried out even more, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on us." And then Jesus stopped, and he called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened." And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, And immediately they regained their sight and they followed him. Restoration of sight. There are a number of times in the New Testament Gospels that Jesus does exactly this. He allows the blind to see. I don't know about you, but if you close your eyes real tight and hold them that way for a long time, and all of a sudden you open them, your eyes, they sort of squint because the light's so bright, and your eyes have to adjust to the light. But for most of us who have seen all our lives, we adjust fairly automatically. Except from a dark room and turn on the bathroom light, for example, that has 99 300-watt bulbs. You turn it on and, oh! It takes a long time for your eyes to adjust. But eventually it does, and you get used to the light. And I think what we need to see, first of all, is that Jesus, God's Son, His servant, helps us to see, first of all, who God is in a way that we've never seen Him before. God revealed Himself in many ways in the Old Testament. Through miraculous events by way of Moses, by prophets. And yet, the picture of God wasn't totally in focus. The book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and I'd like to read that. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things. Through Him also He made the world. And He, in the radiance of the glory and the exact representation of His nature, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Almighty. And having become much better than the angels, as He has inherited more excellent name than they. So, through God's grace, sending Jesus Christ into our world, we began to experience God's grace and His goodness through Jesus that we may see. Well, what do we see? We see, as He touches our lives, who God really is. He is one who is compassionate. Certainly, He judges those who need to be judged. But first, He loves until that love is rejected. And we're able to see God's nature in Jesus Christ through compassion. And we also see His character. He cares. In Jesus, we see the picture of God that He has given to us of Himself throughout history and in nature. And things suddenly become focused, and we see God as He truly is. There's a story in Luke chapter 9 where Jesus is traveling with his disciples. And they go through an area that is filled with Samaritan people. Now, Samaritans were people who were left over from way back in history when the captivity took place. They were whisked away to Babylon. And what happened is that they intermarried with the Babylonians, and then they moved back to Israel. And because they had mixed with another people, they were despised by the Jews who did not intermarry. And they were called Samaritans. And there was a lot of hate between the Jews and the Samaritans against the Jews. So much so that when Jesus traveled through a small town, he was looking for lodging. And he couldn't find any. Everyone refused to give Jesus a place to stay. And two of the disciples, James and John, they're called the sons of Zebedee, got mad. And they said to Jesus, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven on these people because they aren't hospitable to us?" And Jesus said, "No. Because Jesus was trying to show these people the compassion of God. The second thing we begin to see is that we see ourselves as God sees us. You know, it's hard enough to see us as we really are. Well, we can look in a mirror and we see an image of ourselves, and yet inside of us, we don't see what we feel. There are people who are beautiful people, handsome people, and they think they're ugly. They think they're not lovable. That no one cares about them. Even when they're looking themselves in the mirror. When Jesus passed with his disciples, these two men called out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And the crowd, how did they react? "Shut up! Don't you know Jesus is passing by and this is our only chance to see him? And you're making all this racket?" And they did it a second time. And the response was the same. "Quiet." Now it's interesting what Jesus did next. Do you recall from the readings? Jesus stopped. The Almighty God, the God who created the earth and all the heavens and all the creatures therein, stopped. Even though the crowd thought that the needs of these two men were, well, not that important, to draw their God's attention to them, who they think they were, Jesus stopped. It's often that as Christians, when we mix around with other people, we get the reaction that Christianity, well, what is that? Oh, you're a Christian? Well, one of those. It's like, we don't count. Our needs are nothing. And yet, what does Jesus do? He stops. God, our God, Jesus Christ, stops for us. He stops because we're important. We have needs. And God promises to hear our requests. He cares about us. The God of all eternity stops for us. He enters into human history. He enters into our lives. And that's true for every person. Whether they reciprocate or not, God stops. So wherever and whenever life is touched by Jesus, we are given sight to see how Jesus sees our greatest needs. Ask yourself, if Jesus were to come to you today and ask you the question, what would you like me to do for you? How would you answer? Maybe we have some problems in the marriage or a relationship with kids. How to relate to kids in parenting. All kinds of things we could think of. We respond. The Apostle Paul said, Jesus has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. It's from Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Isn't that our deepest need? As we see the world and all the chaos that is in it, we begin to see, begins to dawn on us, that the greatest need of all, no matter who it is, needs to be delivered from the dominion of darkness. Jesus is willing, but are we open? And there are times that I look at the world, things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. Who are you kidding? Deliverance from darkness? Why all of these things happening? Why do innocent people die? And it's not just Charlie. It's innocent people in the family situation in Pennsylvania. It's students at a high school in Texas. What is going on? Well, what's going on is darkness is creeping into people's lives, and they need to be delivered from the dominion of that darkness. And the only way that that darkness can be lifted and destroyed is through Jesus. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. So when we're touched by Jesus, when he stops in front of us and looks us in the eyes, and when we are touched by Jesus, our eyes can be opened, no longer a part of the world of darkness, but the light penetrates from heaven itself into our lives, that we first of all see who God really is. He's the one who delivers us, wants to touch us, to hug us, to love us, and to effect change in our life. Just as he did to those men who were sitting by the road behind the crowd, yelling their lungs out, he stops each and every one of us. that through grace and goodness of God who sent Jesus Christ, we see God for who he is, what he is. We see ourselves for who we really are and can't understand how God will stop for us. And the big stop in our life is the cross of Jesus Christ. He stopped not just for us, but for the whole world. He stopped breathing for all of us. And he rose from the dead so that we may enjoy the grace and goodness of God. We call that salvation. Amen.